Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike Huggard coming to you from our top secret broadcasting studio with another Watchman video broadcast. We're dealing with another spirit, another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. We're dealing with the other gospel part. This all comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what Paul warned us about. In fact, we don't just have warnings from Paul. We've got warnings from all over the scripture to watch out for false prophets, false teachers, false doctrines, false anything that comes into the church. Because if we believe that God is true, we believe that Jesus is true, we believe that His Word is true. This is what He said in John 17. We also must believe then that Satan tells lies. In fact, Jesus called him the father of lies. If there's a lie out there, He fathered it. He invented it. It came from Him. And those lies, the truth will always just come straight forward to you. People will sit down and a doctor will sit down with you and say, I'm not going to mince words with you. You have cancer. You probably have less than 6 months to live. That's straightforward. That's the kind of talk that you and I need. Rather than some doctor coming out and saying, you're going to be fine. We just need to see you a lot the next, five and a half months, something like that. He's not telling the truth. And the lie will always, it'll do what snakes do. You never see a snake standing up walking to you from a mile away. Snakes always creep in. I was reading this morning before coming in here, the book of Titus. Paul was talking about in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, for there are many unruly, which means they don't follow the rules, unruly and vain, which means everything they have is temporal. It's vanity. It's not going to last throughout time and eternity. Vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now, I love the Jewish people. I love Israel. I believe that God has a marvelous plan for their salvation in the last days. You know how they're going to get saved? Same gospel for you and I. Same gospel. By grace, through faith, they will be saved and not of works. That's another gospel. And I'm hearing people who are saying that God has a plan of salvation for Israel that requires works. That's not what he said. The circumcision, the Jews themselves, they've already got works. They got tons of works. And so my love for Israel, my love for God's salvation for them, does not detract from the fact that Paul knew them. He was one of them. Paul knew them, and he knew they were liars, they were deceivers, they were doing anything they could. They are the ones who went to these Galatian churches and tried to slip in this doctrine that they are saved by law keeping. Keep that in mind. And so it's the circumcision that Paul was talking about, liars and vain talkers, and especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not. Here it is. For filthy lucre's sake. They're doing it just like the hot dog vendor here. He's doing it for money. He's not doing it because I just love little boys and girls and people who can't. No, that's not what he's doing. He wants $10 a pop for this hot dog. Remember that? So for filthy lucre's sake, he said in verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Don't listen. Don't give heed to these fables and commandments of men that turn these people over here from the truth of the Word of God. And that's what they do. There's a process. I had this on a note that I was looking at before I turned the camera on. There's a process by which the devil will operate in a person's life. We always use this picture of Baphomet. I don't have it here in front of me, but we always use this picture of Baphomet. How on one hand he has written salve, on the other one he has written coagula. In other words, I must dissolve the truth. I must break it down and destroy it so that I can recoagulate this new gospel or this false idea. And so one of the things, in fact, the primary thing that the devil does, and all the false teachers and vain talkers and they of the circumcision and everybody else, the thing that they must absolutely do in a believer's life, they must destroy the King James Bible. They must destroy the authorized Word of God. They must destroy the pure, inerrant, incorruptible Word of God. They have to destroy that. They have to dissolve it in a person's mind. So they fill them with, now what your Bible says is this, but it, the original word was this. Here's what it really means. In other words, your Bible says something, but it, that's not what God said. Yea, hath God said. God said something. Did God really say this? We're telling you no. God says something entirely different. Or the way the Hebrew roots people work, they say this Greco-Roman paganized occult New Testament. It's their words. This paganized New Testament is all messed up. If we were to have the original, this is really good. If we were to have the original Hebrew documents that this New Testament was originally written in, we would show you that it would have said, you must keep the law. That's their whole point. I mean, you can listen to these people for hours, and I have, but it all boils down to, your Bible's no good. See, they just dissolved it. They just dissolved the Word of God. Your Bible is no good. Now, what it would have said, had it been preserved originally in the original Hebrew, if we would have had it today, it would have said this. That's just a lie is what it is. It's made up. In other words, they don't like the doctrine of the New Testament, so they want to change it. And they change it in your mind only because they have no evidence whatsoever. None whatsoever. So that's what they do. So Jewish fables, commandments of men that turn from the truth unto the pure. Listen to this now. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Did you hear what He said? In works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's a false gospel right there. That is another gospel. And Paul was telling Titus about it. We're doing a study of the book of Galatians, talking about the false gospel, how to tell it from the real gospel, how to identify the real gospel, and the people who bring this false gospel in. So in Galatians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul said, and that because of false brethren, in other words, they're not real brothers. False brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. This is really funny with me, because I've had probably three or four, maybe more, invitations from false teachers and false gospel promoters who want to come sit in front of my camera and debate me. And so they can have, watch this now, they want me to give them my audience. They want me to give them you. They want me to sit with them on my camera. So they can say, well, now in the original Hebrew it said this, now you got to do this and you got to do that. They want to do that. And Paul said, he said, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. He said, I'm not giving them anything. I didn't let them get up and speak and talk. And he said, I didn't do that, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, if you want to go and watch their YouTube videos, you want to go read their websites, be my guest. And out of this camera, out of this top secret studio, see, I can't let them in here because nobody knows where it is. Out of this studio, I'm not going to let anything but the truth of the authorized Bible, the King James Bible, the Word of God. I'm not going to let anything but this book out of this place. And I'm not going to, God didn't tell me to debate them. And they say, well, I've had people say, well, you know, they're brethren, you know, you need to work it. No, Paul said false brethren. That means, it's like my old friend Reg Kelly said, wolves in sheep's clothing are not sheep. These false brethren are not brethren. They slipped in unawares to spy out the liberty. They wanted to see the liberty they had, that we had, and they want to write down all the things they think we're doing wrong. Listen, if you want a list of stuff that I do wrong, I might give it to you, but I probably won't. They slipped in unaware. They're spying out the liberty so they can accuse and rail and everything else and say, they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law. As if, those who write down what you do wrong don't do anything wrong. That's the thing. All these guys here, Paul said it in Titus, he said it in other places in the Bible, it's all throughout the scriptures. These guys here, they don't do anything right either. Nothing. Not one thing. They don't keep the law. They pretend they keep the law. They don't even, whatever false gospel it is, they don't even do it themselves. Roman Catholic priests who tell you that you must go into the confessional booth and confess every dirty little deed that you've ever done, they themselves don't do it. You see, it's not about your works or what you do or what these people tell you to do. It is about the grace of Almighty God only in your life. That's the true gospel. Jude said almost word for word the same thing when he told us to contend for the faith that was once delivered. He said, verse 4 of Jude, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." They deny the doctrines of the faith. They deny, watch this now, they deny the Godhood, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny that. They turn the grace of God into something that it was never intended to be. They turn it into lasciviousness. Now, we know from our previous studies, lasciviousness has everything to do with Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And so these people, this guy here, since he can't win this way, because he's trying to sell $10 hot dogs every week in order for you to get some sort of benefit out of it, he's decided that he can't fight you that way because you're giving away a better hot dog for free. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to sneak in over here to the churches, to the groups and the people and the believers that believe that this guy's doing right by giving away his, the best hot dog in the whole world. These guys then come over here and they look like the same kind of soldier as this guy is. Put on the uniform, I mean, talk the talk and everything like that. But then their goal is to not to go along with Jesus Christ. Their goal is to subvert houses and creep in with very, very sneakily and subtly. Bring in false gospels that require works or performance or money or whatever it is. They have decided that they can't compete with this guy just by shouting out real loud. So they come over to this guy's place, and all these people that he has fed, like the 5,000 in the wilderness, this guy goes to them one at a time and rips converts out and puts them here. That's what they do. These guys, stop and think about it. The Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons and Hebrew Roots and all these other cults, they don't really go after too many lost people. You know who they're looking for? Wounded church people. That's who they're looking for. And so Paul talked about them in Galatians chapter 2. Verse 14, he said, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" And this really is addressed to the entire Hebrew Roots, Seventh-day Adventist, or wherever you see Jewish traditions, Jewish fables, Jewish commandments, Jewish doctrines, whenever you see them moving into the Gentile church, there's one goal in mind. And it's not about honoring God. Because remember, you cannot please God by performance. You can't do it. I mean, it's kind of like watching some great Luciano Pavarotti, great tenor opera singer, singing whatever. And then, you know, some hillbilly from the South coming up there and saying, well, I'm singing that La Donna Mobile. It's not the same. Once you see the work that Jesus has performed on the cross, how that he accomplished all the works of the law, and he did them flawlessly. Once you observe the risen Jesus Christ who has done all for us, God looks at people who try to do that and we can't do it. He's not impressed. He doesn't say, well, that was actually better than what my son did. He never says that. He shares his glory with his son. His son did it all. But these guys come in and they try to bring in the Jewish commandments and the works of the law and the Jewish lifestyle, because that's what it said. He said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles. Peter was sitting down eating food with Gentiles like they were. And not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? It's so funny to hear Hebrew roots teachers teach this verse, because they go twist, turn, regurgitate, retranslate, and then they make it look like Peter's actually commanding the Gentiles to live like Jews. That's what they make it look like. But when you look at the plain, incorruptible, unaltered Word of God, word for word what it says, you see plainly that Peter's problem was he was trying to demand that the Gentiles live as do the Jews. And that only has one goal in mind, to slowly and subtly bring you back under, bring these people over here under the dominion of the law. And under the dominion of the law, if you say, well, I'm keeping the law, yet you offend in one point, and you're going to, you already have, you're guilty of all. No salvation to you. See how that works? You ought to just believe the plain scriptures and just believe what God said. God said, I already translated it. It's fine. Don't change it. Don't alter it. All these guys over here, the book, all these people, Joe Smith, oh no, we got to rework it because it doesn't prove our doctrine. So let's rewrite it. That's what they do. So anyway, that's the modus operandi. That's how they work. They bring in very subtly these false doctrines by dissolving the truth in your minds. And then he said in verse 16 of Galatians 2, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Very interesting phrase. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know, I was talking about this, and I was told by somebody that the new translations, I'm just going to look this up here, the new translations actually take Galatians 2:16 and they rewrite it. I'm going to check that out to see if that's true. This is the, what is this? What did we say? The English, no, the Today's Living Translation. Galatians 2, verse 16, and yet we Jewish Christians know that we become right with God, not by doing what the law commands, but by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not what it says. It says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Have you ever wavered in your faith? I have. I do. So if God is relying upon my absolute total perfection in faith, well, I'm lost. But it says right here, the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. It is the work of Christ, the faith of Christ, that brings our justification. It's His work that brings it to us. We just trust in Christ and say, well, I trust you. But it's the faith of Christ that brings our salvation and our justification. They didn't like how that was written, so they changed it. They twisted it. Just all they did was change from of to in, and they altered the doctrine. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified of the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, if you just read that for what it says, then you should believe exactly what it says, that we are not justified by the works of the law, but by faith we are justified, by the faith of Christ and our trust in Christ. And so right here, it's very plain, but these guys will take an hour to twist you around this concept so that you will believe when they're done, because you've listened to them over this, you will believe that, oh, I do have to keep the law. Because that's what they said. If they would have been writing in Hebrew, that's how they would have written it. That's really what they're saying. Anyway, Galatians 2:14. Let's look at this whole passage together. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, that's plainly teaching here, and it's not just this one little isolated territory in the Bible. It says it throughout the... If you start in Genesis and start working your way forward, you'll see salvation by faith. Faith is belief. You believe. The word faith. It's so funny how, like Jim Staley, this is one of his favorite things to do. He takes... Every time the Bible says faith, and especially the New Testament, he says, that's the Greco-Romanized version of faith. It's that it's just mental assent, that you just believe it in your mind, and that's all you have to do. He said, but the Hebrews had the pure form. They had the most holy way. They were so righteous and godly in every way that they had, in all their language. Why then did they reject the Messiah, Jim? If these people and their language and their lifestyle and their traditions were so righteous and holy, why did God turn His back on them and offer salvation from Christ to the Gentiles and not to the Jews? Why? Because they didn't have it right. And Paul spent his life fighting his own brethren on this issue. But Staley and others say, faith, the Hebrew concept of faith, the real holy Hebrew way of faith is believe and do. They added something. Believe and do, or trust and obey. He says that a lot. So every time the Bible just says faith, he says, now remember, it means obey. That's what he says. So he's taken even the word faith that we speak, comes from a Latin word, fideles, which comes from the Greek, and it literally means believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Ethiopian eunuch, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. Ethiopian eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thief on the cross believed that he was going to be raised from the dead before he died. That's belief. Jesus said today, if you perform, if you do, you shall be. And that's not what he said. He said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Belief, belief, belief. Do you believe? Now, should you perform what's in this book? Yeah. Can you? No. Not to God's satisfaction. You can't. So he says, believe. Do you trust in it? Do you trust in what my son has already done? Let's look at the verses in the Bible. Mark chapter 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Acts 15:7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now I'm going to stop right here. And I'm going to say this to all the people who say that the books of Peter and James and some of these others are not written for the Gentiles because Peter was the apostle to the Jews. Right here, Peter said that God made a choice and he allowed and blessed the Gentiles to believe, not Paul, Peter. Peter. It's what Peter said, his doctrines. And Peter's doctrine don't contradict what Paul said ever. Therefore, the whole gospel, the whole New Testament for us, the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. They should hear the word, the Bible of the gospel, and believe. That's how they're saved. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that what? Doeth? No. Believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So it's the same gospel going to the Jews as well as to the Greeks or the Gentiles, the non-Jews. That's who it's going to. It's the same gospel. For someone to say, well, I believe God saves us this way, but he's going to save the Jews a different way. That, you know what that is? Another gospel. It's not the same one that you and that's like the liberals and the ecumenicals. Well, being a Baptist works for you, but for these people over here who worship Allah and they kill people in plane crashes and stuff like that, well, that's how God saves them. You see how ridiculous that is? Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Stop right here. Obeyed the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something. These guys love to set you up. They love to set you up. They try to set you up by using words out of context, whatever. They try to use God's own words against you by saying, you see that word obey? It says you must obey. That word obey here, you must be obedient. You got to obey the gospel. You got to do. You see, they say, that's what they say. Even the word obey means do. Let me show you what God, because Romans was written by God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is not Paul's words. This is not, as these Hebrew roots and all these other people say, this was not Rav Shaul. You know what that means? Rabbi Saul. I don't see anywhere in this Bible where Paul ever called himself rabbi or anyone else called him that. For in fact, Jesus condemned the Jews. Don't call anybody your master. Don't call anybody rabbi. If there is one teacher, one master that you have, and that's God. Paul never allowed anyone to call him a Jewish rabbi. Never happened. These guys made that up. They took something here and injected it into the gospel in order to break it down in your mind to make it say what it doesn't say. That's all these people know how to do. Who hath believed? They have not all obeyed the gospel. Paul said, Romans 10:16. And so they will jump on that and say, see, you must obey. You must perform. You must do. What does it mean? What did God say it means to obey the gospel? Look at the verse. They have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Believe. Old Testament obedience is, thou shalt not covet. Oh, broke it already. I'm going to hell. New Testament obedience is you must obey the gospel. How do you obey the gospel? He says right here, you believe it. You believe it. I'm not much on being able to do things. Fact of the matter is, to be just totally honest with you, all I wanted to do today was just go home and go to bed. That's all I wanted to do today. God helped me to perform what it is that I'm doing right now, because my will is to go home and forget about it. I'm not much. I am not much on being able to perform. Maybe not everybody's that way. Maybe God wanted you strong. But apparently, God wanted me weak, because I can't do a whole lot. But I always come back to the Word, and I read it, and I say, God, I believe that. I believe that. It's as simple as that. 1 Corinthians 15:1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which ye also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Do you see what that says right there? He actually uses the word saved here. You're saved if you keep in memory what I preached, unless you believed in vain. In other words, you started out believing. Let me just say this, and the Bible's very clear on this. Salvation belongs to believers, but those who remain in belief. You started out believing. How many people do you and I know that started out believing and then ended up in unbelief, disbelief? There's no salvation for them. It's about belief and maintaining belief. New Testament obedience again. Here it is, Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. So all these people over here would say, see, you got to obey, you got to do, you got to do, you got to do. Well, let's look at it. Romans chapter 2, verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You see right here, it matches what he said here in Romans 10:16. They didn't obey the truth. What does it mean to obey the truth? It means believe it. Believe it. Who hath believed our report? That's what God was looking for. In Isaiah chapter, what is that, Isaiah 53, when he talks about all the things that Christ did on the cross and how God was pleased, not at what we do, but at what Christ did. It pleased God to bruise Him, not us. The justification of our transgressions and the requirements that God required out of the law, those things were satisfied and pleased by the death, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ alone. And Paul said, and Isaiah say together, who's believed this? Who was going to believe our report, our gospel? Who will believe this? I will. I'll believe it. Because like I said, I don't do an awful lot. But I do believe with all my heart. I love it. I like being free. I love being free. These guys, and I'm going to show you this as we move along, these guys have nothing but bondage. Nothing. Nothing but bondage. If you don't continually perform, you're out. Will you believe? Galatians 5:7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not, what? Obey the truth. You quit believing. In other words, Paul was dealing with an issue where these guys crept in over here to these Galatian churches, many of them, took people out, told them that just believing, that's the Greco-Romanized version of it. But the Hebrew, the real Hebrew way is to do. So in order for you to be saved, Galatian people, we have to circumcise you. Once you're circumcised, now that you're showing that you're going to keep the law forever and forever and ever, like we do, not, they don't keep the law. They can cut themselves all they want to. They don't keep the law. But that's what these people ended up walking away from. They walked away from belief, and they walked to perform. That's what they did. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, But you see that you were the servants, you were in bondage to sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. This flesh is so incredibly weak that I find performance one of the most, if not the difficult task for me to do. But I believed it and obeyed it, not from my flesh. I wasn't there, sitting there with them at the Passover Seder. I wasn't. Which is not really keeping Passover. That's another topic. But my heart believes, and with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. I have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified their souls in what? Obeying the truth. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. How is it that you were able to obey the truth? It was only through the Spirit. If the Spirit doesn't help you even believe, you don't believe. It's what the unaltered Scripture. Now, you're going to listen to this, and you might ask, go somebody that you've been listening to and ask some questions. They'll say, but see, really what the original Hebrew says, what it says in the original Greek, what it meant to them 2,000 years ago was this. So now they've altered, they've dissolved, they've dissolved the Bible in your mind to try to teach you their new false doctrine. That's how they do it. It's very simple. Romans 1:5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Obedience to the faith, that means you believe it. You come under the obeisance or the rule of faith. You let faith guide you and direct you, not works. Romans 16:26, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets. Boy, this is very important right here, scriptures. According to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of what? Faith. Faith is our obedience to God. Do you believe? Yes. If there are people now who do not believe, they're unfaithful and they're disobedient. Again, you can look at Old Testament obedience and say, oh yeah, you got to do, you got to perform. That's the old contract. We're going to talk about contract law. That's the old contract. God said, you must do every rule that I said. Yes, Lord, we'll do it. Oh, broke the 10th one. Oh, no. See how easily we are set aside by sin? It's so easy. It's hard to fight it off. Easy to do. New Testament obedience, believe what God said. And I believe every word in this book, every one of them. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom ye also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So again, it's by belief, trust. Ye also trusted the gospel. You believed. You were sealed by the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul says this in Galatians 2:18. We're moving down through the book of Galatians. And he's establishing this idea that our salvation is by faith. It's by God's grace through our faith. In other words, God's grace cannot be applied to someone who doesn't believe. But it can be applied as it is given to us clearly in the Scripture. God's grace is always applied to people who believed, who were looking for grace. How was Noah saved? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And while I admit, and I've taught this clearly, because some people want to take the James idea, faith without works is dead, and so on, and the idea that Noah built an ark and he saved himself. It was grace first. Grace, you see, to put works in there, and let me just say this, everybody on the planet does what they believe in. It doesn't take just a Christian to do that or a Christian work keeper to do that. You always do what you believe in. So lost people all around us, you know, did you know that they're doing what they believe in? Some of them don't believe in God. So you know what? They don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They believe in themselves. And so they do for themselves. See, you always do what you believe in. That's what James was talking about. Faith without works was dead. You know, he wasn't trying to show that works bring salvation. He was trying to show that if you say one thing and yet do another, what you did shows what you believe. That's what he was trying to say. Because everybody does what they believe. If you believe that you can attain salvation by keeping the law, then you'll find yourself trying to, every day, trying to keep the law, trying to keep the law, trying to keep the law, because you believe that that's what it is. Seventh-day Adventist people tell everybody from Ellen White on that if you go to church on Sunday, you've got the mark of the beast. So that's why these people never show up to the Seventh-day Adventist hall on Sunday. They always show up on Saturday. Why? Because that's what they believe. You do what you believe. It's automatic. I believe, I came in here, I believe this chair would hold me up. I tested it first before I ever bought it. Because, hate to admit it, I've sat in chairs that didn't hold up. But I tested this one. I believe that this chair would hold me up. So you know what I did? Sat in it. And from now on, and my wife and I are kind of looking for patio furniture. Well, I know what not to get, because there's some chairs out there that are kind of made of plastic. They sit out for a year into the sun, and then you go sit on them. I don't care if you're 150 pounds. Snap. So you know what? I don't believe that those chairs hold up very well. I'm not going to buy one. I do what I believe in. It's that simple. And these people will spend hours trying to pull your mind into the idea that you must obey first, then God accepts you. It's a lie. It's a blatant lie. Because remember where Paul came from. Paul came from a very strict, fundamentalist Jewish order. He knew the law. He knew every one of them. And lived in the law. And he was trying to build, by his performance, his own way of attaining heaven. I want you to think about this. And he realized he couldn't do it. And you know what God did for him? And by the way, was Paul looking for Jesus on the road to Damascus? Jesus just showed up. How did it happen with you? One day Jesus just showed up. Isn't that what he said? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He just showed up. Paul opened the door and let Jesus in. That's what he did. So Paul then realized, after spending about 14 years with Jesus, learning the doctrines that you and I believe in now, he realized that what he was doing in his old life was a waste of time. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so notice what Paul said in Galatians 2:18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. You know what Paul was saying? He said, I try to build my own way to heaven. He said, but when Christ got a hold of me and taught me the truth, I destroyed. Listen to you, all you Hebrew roots people. Paul destroyed his old life in his new life. That's what he did. Notice that he said, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. When I read that, my mind immediately went to this picture here. The Tower of Babel. Think about what it says. Go back to Genesis 11. Look at what it says. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. I'll build this. We will build this together. Have you not heard this? Have you not heard this coming from churches? Rick Warren and all these people. Let us build this together. Let's work on this together. Let's do this together. Rick Warren says he preaches grace by faith, but he is nothing but about works. Look at what we're doing. Look at what we do. We're doing this and doing that, and we are doing that, and we're doing this with other people who are doing it. You know what that makes him? That makes him a partner with all the other religions that believe that you must perform in order to reach eternal life or reach nirvana or reach heaven or whatever it is. That's his false gospel that he spent time writing the purpose-driven life and the purpose-driven church. The purpose-driven church was all about what the churches must do in order to see other people saved. Now it's in the hands of men. Men must perform. And if the churches don't perform, then nobody will be saved. That's a lie. It's a lie. So it's all about what the Tower of Babel. Guess what? Guess what the end days religion is going to be? Man's work. See, the Tower of Babel was left unfinished. Where did they want to build it to? Heaven. It was man's personal accomplishments and achievements that would take himself to godhood, just like what the devil promised Eve in the Garden of Eden. If you perform, you will be as the gods. And so what were they doing in the plain of Sumeria? What were they doing? They were building, they were working their way up to heaven. And God came down and confused that and destroyed it. And Paul said, if I go back and build again the things I destroyed, I'm a transgressor. Very interesting. In Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. See, the Tower of Babel represents a false gospel that is based upon man's works, man's performance, what we can do. Does it not ever occur to anybody that God already built a city and a tower? You know who the tower is? Jesus. Go study the word tower. Go study it in the Psalms. Thou art my high tower. Jesus is the tower. Oh, it's so pretty. Did it not ever occur to anybody that God already has a city? That instead of being based upon our performance of works and what we build for God, God's already, whose builder and maker is God. He already built it. He already made it. Instead of it coming from us to God, it's coming from God down to us. And what did we do? We said, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because we believed. We believed. By the way, dominion theology, it's a false gospel. It says that God will bring down the kingdom if we take over the planet for him. That's works salvation. It's performance. If we perform, I mentioned this before, but it's just, I remember I just went nuts on this thing. Larry Haggard. Ted Haggard. One of the two. Anyway, guy named Haggard, not Hoggard. Had a mega church out in Colorado. Said God woke him up in the middle of the night one night, just before the United States was going to go against Iraq in the second Gulf War. God told him that if he could get 1 million people to pray, then, are you listening to this? If he could get 1 million people to pray, then no loss of life would be incurred in the Iraqi insurgents or the Iraqi war. In other words, God was saying, if you can get 1 million people, not 999 million or 999,999, but 1 million, if you can get 1 million people to pray, then I will not let anybody die in that war. Works. And he went and told this to the world. Kind of, you know, you have to forgive him. He was a little messed up dealing with male prostitutes and methamphetamine at the time. Work salvation. If we do, then God will do this. If we perform, then God will give back to us. See, it's really witchcraft, and we're going to get into that. Notice in Joshua chapter 6, after Joshua had destroyed Mystery Babylon, Jericho, it's a typology of it. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. And he shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Let me read the fulfillment of that. 1 Kings 16:34. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. Let me give you a biblical example of this. When the Philistines brought the Ark of the Covenant before Dagon, see, they had to perform, they had to bring it to Dagon. Dagon couldn't get it himself. So they went and stole the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought it before Dagon. They did it for their God. And so they come in the next morning, they notice that Dagon is laying down, fallen down in front of the Ark of the Covenant. So the priest of Dagon set him back up. Why couldn't Dagon set himself back up? Because their gods don't have power like my God. Think about the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. When Christ was crucified on the cross, did man take his life? No, he gave it freely. Did man raise him back from the dead? No, God did that for us. So you see, no matter how you approach it, if you try to approach God's version of salvation with works, you're already flawed in your gospel and your doctrine, and it's a different one. What you're trying to do is like you're doing with Jericho. You're trying to lay and build the city again that God destroyed. And you know what? There's a curse on you for doing that. A curse is always you're going to hell. A blessing is always you're going to heaven. If you try to build or rebuild, there's a curse on you, plain and simple. We've covered this before, but notice the similarity between the Tower of Babel and the European Union. The European Parliament building looks like the unfinished Tower of Babel, Europe, many tongues, one voice, which represents man's effort. What man can achieve. The whole United Nations is all about what man is going to do to bring in a day when they're going to beat their swords into plowshares. God is the one who does that, not man. So we, those of you who believe in a performance-based salvation, you might also criticize the United Nations because they're all about what man is doing to bring in peace and tranquility on the earth, when that's exactly what you're doing as well. You're saying you must perform. Man must dig himself out of his own grave. That's what you're saying. And it's almost like there's no love in this gospel. This gospel says, you got yourself down in that hole, you dig yourself back out of it. Here's a hot dog. That's what that gospel is. This gospel says, you dug yourself a grave and you're laying in it. Let me pull you out of there. That's that gospel. That's the one I'm for. Think of the what happened September 11th, 2001. They dissolved the World Trade Towers. They brought them down. Now they're rebuilding it. See that spire that's going on up there? That represents the finished work of the tower, the unfinished work of the Tower of Babel. And I want you to notice, and I've talked about this on Pastor Mike Online, but I want you to notice, I did a close-up, a zoom-in of that tower. The symbols on that spire that they set on top of the Freedom Tower. Hold it, stop right here. Did you know the Bible tells that the false prophets of the last days will promise freedom and liberty? They won't be able to deliver any of it. They say, and what their version of freedom is freedom from the Bible. But anyway, back to this spire. This spire has on it symbols that look amazingly like what is in the occult realm, the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. I want you to notice that a triangle pointing up with a line through it, that's air. A triangle pointing down, that's water. And those are the elementals that deal with black magic, white magic, it doesn't matter. In Freemasonry, it's there. Notice these two pillars of Jachin and Boaz. And let me just explain this here. This is about a self-determined, man-made, man-performed gospel. Freemasonry is loaded. It's all about this. Freemasonry says, if you join the Masonic Lodge and you perform the 33 rituals that we require of you in the Scottish Rite, the 13 in the York Rite, the 90 in the Memphis Rite, or whatever. If you perform these rituals and reach the top of the ladder by your own works, we'll give you a lambskin apron. The lambskin apron says that when you go stand before God, he says, well, you're a mason. I see you have the lambskin apron on. You have good works. I have to let you in because you did all these things by yourself. You didn't need me. I'm letting you in. That's what they teach. They teach that the lambskin apron is their works of righteousness that allow them into heaven. That's exactly the same gospel that all these other people preach. That you perform works of righteousness and God will let you in because you did something. It's a false gospel. But that's what elemental magic is all about. It's about performance. The earth, the air, the fire, and the water. I'm going to bring these forces together and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that so that I can get a benefit out of it. We're going to talk about that. But notice the two pillars, Jachin and Boaz. Notice on the top and the bottom, they have the elemental symbols, earth, air, fire, and water. We noted that Jachin and Boaz actually represent your DNA and the strands of your DNA. Jachin and Boaz, both in the Bible, 23 cubits tall, that's 46. That's the number of chromosomes in your own flesh. And here's the thing. The false gospel always seeks to save or benefit the flesh. The real gospel denies it. Already you're thinking of verses. If any man will deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, I'll give him eternal life. So this always seeks to save or benefit or bless the flesh. That's what witchcraft is all about. That's what Freemasonry is all about. That's the basis behind what we see in Daniel chapter 2, verse 43. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. When you go back and look at the symbol of Jacob and Boaz, and the elementals that you have on there, you have the sun and the moon, you have father and mother. Basically, what you're looking at is a rehashing of Genesis 6, the sons of God and the daughters of men colluding together. It is the heavenly realm mingling itself with the earthly realm. And it's all about man's performance of what he's going to do. On top of the idea of the elementals, earth, air, fire, and water, there's four. You also have the idea of north, south, east, and west. The facing, and I've had people tell me, Pastor Mike, we've had prayer things in our church where this woman, think about it, told us that we had to pray in the four directions in our church for God to really bring his power in. That's a lie. That's you know what that is? It's witchcraft. They brought witchcraft into the church, saying that if we perform in these directions, then God will do for us. Whatever happened to some person just falling down on their face before God in their closet, weeping their eyes out, saying, God, please help me. And God helped them. He didn't say, now stand up and face the four directions. Now speak these words. Now do this. Because if you don't, I can't help you. That's the false gospel. It's the idea that you must perform, or you must observe to do, or you must do all these things. I want you to notice that Daniel, in talking about this elemental witchcraft, said that it was the iron kingdom mingling with miry clay. Now here's what I'm getting at. All these people here who say you must do, the fact is, not even they do. You see, that's the thing you don't know behind the scenes, is that while these people are telling you, you must live perfect lives, you must holy, you must live clean, these guys in the background who are telling you all this, they look at dirty stuff on the internet, and some of them, even cases, they molest children. But they're telling you that you must perform, and they didn't. Let me tell you what the result is of a gospel that tells you you have to do in order to receive the benefits. Let me tell you what the end result is. This is where it's going. This is why Paul spoke so vehemently against a performance or works-based gospel. That's why he did. He knew where it was headed. And I would say that in the days that we're living in, this is more real. This Bible and its prophecies are more real than they've ever been in earth's history. Deuteronomy 28. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all. Look at that word all. all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. See the word curse? That means you're going to hell. In verse 48, therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. And I want you to look at the reality of this. While these guys tell you, you must perform and you must do this. Let's talk about the New Age movement for a minute. Because there have been people who've gotten into the New Age movement, and the New Age movement told them, oh, you got to chant, you got to meditate, you got to do this, now you got to reach a higher level, now you got to go here, now you got to go way beyond that, now you got to go into the inner depths and everything like that. You know, all these people who have come out of this movement said, for every new thing that I had to perform, I found out that I was starving worse and worse. I was more in hunger. I was more in thirst. I realized that I was more in nakedness than I ever had been in my life. The more I sought the fulfillment from the works that the New Age movement was telling me to do, the less I was fulfilled. It wasn't until I turned our back on all these things and found Christ and what he had done for me that I found the fulfillment. But then the bottom line is, God said, if you decide that you're going to do all the law and then you don't do them, I'm going to put a yoke of iron on you. This iron kingdom is going to come and get you until you're destroyed. Don't believe these people. Don't believe the Michael Roods and the Staleys and the New Age talkers and the Rick Warrens and everybody else. Don't believe these rascals. They're leading you to go get a mark on your right hand or forehead. That's where they're leading you. I love the finished work of the cross. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. But this is our study of now how to identify the real from the false. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But look what he said. Christ liveth within me, or it liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's faith. I believe in the cross. I believe in the finished work. The life that I now live with Christ in me, he's giving me the ability to live by faith. 1 Corinthians, and by the way, the real gospel always centers on the cross. The cross. The cross. The real gospel centers on the finished work of Christ and the destruction of the flesh. I'm crucified with Christ. The finished work. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Did you see that? Christ sent me not to tell you that I must perform a ritual on you in order for you to be saved. He said, that's not what he said. He told me to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words, not with A Course in Miracles or all this other stuff here that they pile on you. Oh, now read these books. Now these will be good for you. He said, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect for you. You know how simple it's supposed to be? You're supposed to believe that Christ did everything for you in your place. He took it all upon himself and he did it all. That's the real gospel. The false gospel is witchcraft. It's all about can you do, can you do, can you do. Let me give you an example. Let me read this verse here, Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Who bewitched? These guys are witches. They practice witchcraft. That's what they do. The New Age movement is witchcraft in a different shell. The Hebrew Roots movement is Kabbalah mysticism, witchcraft in a different shell. Roman Catholicism is witchcraft. It says if we perform these rituals, we can turn this piece... Hocus pocus, I turn this cookie into God. See, it's God now. Eat it. That's witchcraft. That's how simple that is. You remember, he said the word bewitched. Da-dun, 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 da-dun. You remember the show Bewitched, right? Okay, it was so cute, you know. Meek, meek, meek. And she does all this magic, and now she has Tabitha, who is half God, half mortal. Okay, and then there was Aunt Clara. Aunt Clara always showed up, and she was this bumbling, I don't remember, hold on, let me... And she would always say this spell, and all of a sudden this horse would appear in the middle of the living room. Oh, oh dear, oh, oh no, I forgot. You know what her problem was? Witchcraft requires a strict performance of either works, words, rituals, or money. That's what witchcraft is. And see, Aunt Clara's problem, and it's meant to be funny, but Aunt Clara's problem was she didn't get all the words right. Therefore, the magic, the blessing, didn't turn out right. So you see how that works? That's what all this false gospel is. Witchcraft is a performance-based ritual to bring power or blessing or a benefit to the flesh of the recipient. In other words, you must do. There are no witches who say, well, I believe in witchcraft, and yet nothing ever happens, because witchcraft in itself says you can't just believe in it. You got to do it. You have to do it. There will be the forces of earth, air, fire, and water, the elementals, the magic, the force. Remember Star Wars, the force? I was thinking about that because May the 4th is called Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. It's a joke. Anyway, the idea that Obi-Wan Kenobi was trying to teach to Luke Skywalker was he can't simply believe that there is a force out there. You have to put it into practice. You have to practice it. You have to perform it. You have to do it. You have to conjure it. I want you to remember that word, conjure, because there's someone that you know, you've heard of, that used it, said, we conjure God. I'm not kidding you. Notice in Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's what this is, the elements of the world. By the way, I didn't really get on this too much, okay? The four elements, earth, air, and fire, and water, in the spiritual realm, they are principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high places. Let me explain this. These are the devils that are working on the devil's side. That's who they are. These devils are all beasts. Beasts or animals can be trained or taught to perform for mankind, but only if mankind does something or says words to get them to do. Like, come here, boy. Come here. You know, things like that. We command animals with our voice, with our language. That's what these beasts are. So there really is no such thing as these forces in the world that are just benign and don't do anything unless we tell them to. These are devils that perform on behalf of witches who, when they say the right rituals and say the right things and draw the circle and put this pentagram in there, whatever, when we do this, then these beasts will come and do and perform for us, or these elemental ideas. Aleister Crowley was full of this idea and this doctrine. He bought the land and built what was called the Bullskin House or something like that. And it was oriented in such a way that there was a room that when he went into this room and he faced in the right proper direction and he said all the right words and he brought in all this stuff and did all this rituals in the exact right way, that a spirit called Babylon would come, and or actually it was Lamb, the gray-headed, big-headed alien-looking guy, would appear to him. But if Crowley didn't do everything quite right, Lamb would never show up. Wouldn't work. That's witchcraft. That's work salvation. But in the physical realm, the elements of earth, wind, fire, and water represent, take a look here at the DNA strand, adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. You see, fire and water are opposites, so are adenine and thymine. Earth and air are opposites, so are cytosine and guanine. They're opposites. They're meant to be paired together. They're what brings the two strands of your DNA together. That's what that's all about. It's all about what is done in the flesh and how we can make the flesh perform. And Paul referred to them as the weak and beggarly elements. He said, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Notice the language that Paul said. I've said this before. This is all bondage. Because as Crowley found out, if you don't perform it the right way, they're not showing up. And they had him constantly in bondage, trying to get him to perform. Those who are in the New Age movement, they were constantly in bondage to performance in order to get these ascended masters to reveal themselves to him. Bondage. We were in bondage under the elements of the world. Galatians 4:9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. Are you ready for this? He said that the observations of days, months, times, observers of times and years is part of the, notice there's four of them. Days, months, times, years. Earth, air, fire, water. Adenine, thymine, guanine, cytosine. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, see this number four that I'm doing like this? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the real gospel. The real gospel says Christ did it all. The false gospel says, let's bring the force together so it can perform on our behalf. That's false gospel. It's witchcraft. Look at this graphic here. Earth, air, fire, and water. And when you conjure those four things together, you get what's called the fifth element. There was a movie, Bruce Willis made this movie, called Ether or Spirit. You bring the four together so that something else rises up out of that. We talked about that in the other Jesus. The other gospel brings in, listen, the other gospel brings in the other Jesus. Whereas the real gospel, Jesus is the one who brings the real gospel, not the other way around. The false gospel must bring the other Jesus. Performance works. There are churches taking hold of this theme of the elements. Here's one church called Element Church. Look at that, Element Church. And notice on the bottom, they're actually using the symbols like what you see on an element chart. And then they have the unfinished phrase, Jesus is blank. You know who that is? It's another Jesus, because we don't know who he is. Or maybe you can shape Jesus into what you think you want him to be. That's the other Jesus. And the Element Church preaches another Jesus by way of another spirit with another gospel. Elements. Earth. Here's another one. Elements City Church. It's all over the place. Here it is. This is from the former denomination I belong to. Elements Kids Worship. Here's another one. Elements of Worship. It's all about... See, when they overemphasize worship, I believe in worshiping God. I believe the best way to worship God is get alone somewhere out in the woods or in a closet somewhere and just cry and weep and wail. And that way no one's around to see you do it. You're not performing for anybody. You're just so distraught that you can't help yourself and you're asking God to do it. And you're worshiping God as the sovereign God who alone is able to help you, even out of your transgressions. That's worship. But we have taken worship now to a whole new level. Worship now is all about what we can perform or what we can do and make a show of our flesh in order to invoke God. I have spoken to people who had it in their honest heart, in their mind, that they believed that they weren't worshiping God well enough. That's why they were having so many problems in their marriage or in their life or whatever. That's a false gospel. That is a gospel where God says, only if you perform well enough for me, will I do something for you? It's witchcraft. And it's wrong. Elements Church at Westwood. Notice the symbols. They represent earth, air, fire, and water. Notice you got one rising up out of the middle. This is Elements Church. This is the four cardinal directions, the four seasons, the four elements, the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, and high places. And I've talked about this saying about worship. And some people are believing that unless you worship, God will not do anything for you. Here's an article in a mainstream website, Church Leaders, Lead Better Every Day. Here's an article called Salvation and Worship. You can't have one without the other. Why do many Christians in our churches today fail to outwardly worship God? Why is it that many appear to care nothing about worshiping God? They seem to have other things in their minds during the worship service. You know what this guy's doing? He's putting judgment on everybody. They seem like this. You know what he's doing? He's looking out at a congregation of people that won't perform what he tells them to perform. He has everybody stand up. These people won't stand up. Why won't you stand up? Why do I have to? Well, you're not worshiping. We're worshiping God. How do you know that I'm not worshiping God too? I just want to do it sitting down. Or I don't think I have to throw my hands up in the air. I don't think I have to sway back and forth. I don't think I have to say the same verses 20 times in a row. These people, they have a skewed idea of what worship is, and they're now saying that if you don't worship God the way we tell you to do, you're not saved. It's a false gospel. It is a works-based gospel. Here's Jim Staley. Power of prayer. This is I'm showing you the graphic. You can listen to the video for yourself to see that he said these words. To conjure up the Lord God, we do so in prayer. And then he said this, when we observe times on Yahweh's calendar, there is something conjured in the spiritual realm. Let me get this back out. This earth, air, fire, and water, these elements, and it's exactly the same thing that Paul said in Galatians, talking about witchcraft. He mentioned the fact, he said, you observe days and months and times and years. And he called them the weak and the beggarly elements, thinking that if they performed these things, that God would be pleased with them. And this is, I couldn't believe the language that he said, when we observe times on Yahweh's calendar, there is something conjured in the spiritual realm. Oh, yeah, I believe there is, but it's not God. Deuteronomy 18:10. I want you to notice the exact language of the King James Bible in relation to what Staley just said. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. An observer of times, or a witch. By way of a false gospel that Staley preaches, and Michael Rood especially, he's all about, oh, you got to do the feast days, you got to do this, got to do that. All these guys are telling you that unless you perform these things on these days, God will not hear you. God will not give you grace. God will not give you blessing. It's performance-based. It's witchcraft. It's what it is. I don't like saying things like that, but that's how the Bible lays it out. It's very clear that there are people who are moving in who will try to have you believe that unless you do, you will not be saved. It is a false gospel. Paul called it witchcraft. He called it that for a reason, because there's only two religions in the world. There is gospel, Bible, Christianity, and witchcraft. That unless you do, God will not save you. It's a false gospel. We're going to continue our study next week, going through the book of Galatians, learning what the real gospel is, and showing you the relationship to the fake gospel, so that you can know when someone's speaking, when someone's talking, when there's a YouTube video or an article or whatever, you can then discern. You have the tools now in your hand to decide, is this the real gospel that says believe? Or must I do something in order to have a blessing from God? The choice is yours. I'm showing you plainly that devils would love to have you. Don't give in. This is Pastor Mike. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.